new episode of Wham Bam Pow, your favorite podcast about movies, specifically sci-fi and action movies. We love to talk about dick flicks, TM, on this show. My name is Rhea Butcher, the Lady James Dean, and or Pamplemousse, and or Rhea the Butcher. I would like to take a second and thank everybody that watched Last Comic Standing. I forgot to tell you guys ahead of time that I was going to be on there. Classic Rhea Butcher. But thank you to everybody that watched and tweeted and everything. And if you're still super mad that I didn't make it any further, make sure to tweet it at Real Roseanne, at Norm MacDonald, and at Keenan I. Waynes, and tell them they're completely wrong. Thank you. My co-host for this episode is, as always, Coco Palau himself, Mr. Ricky Carmona. Ricky Carmona, how are you doing today?
Welcome myself back to the show. I would love to do that. Thank you. It's good to be back. It's good to be back. It's good to be back. It's good to be back.
What are you doing, people?
We had an accidental skip week.
We did?
Yeah, we just had to do it. We are getting busy, which is good for us.
Absolutely.
Not for you.
We apologize for other people wanting us to kick it with them.
Exactly.
And do that good work. But that's what we're out doing.
Yeah.
But it feels good to be back. Can I give some? You know, I was on tour. I was on the Threes tour, which was great. It was 2.5 weeks of fantastic traveling from Florida all the way up to New York City, 2,500 miles of driving. But people came out to the show.
You guys drove that whole thing?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What was your rental car?
Some car. I don't know anything about cars.
We rented car.
It was red. It was like a trucky kind of car thing.
All right.
You know, like four, it had
it
four doors.
It was a red truckie? Ooh, that's dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, I
red shirt truckie. You know what I mean?
I was really hitting them turns hard.
I'm sure, yeah.
Like the Wraith, like Charlie Sheen in the Wraith. I just dropped the Wraith, and I'm not even 5 minutes in.
We are
on this
two
mug.
Seconds into
Come
this
on!
Episode, and you're dropping the Wraith.
Yes,
I don't
son.
Even know what you're talking about.
Yes, son. But it was great. The tour was great. Wham Bam Pow Peoples came out, and it was fantastic. Thank you so much, everybody who came out. I got a cape.
You saw
that cape?
Now all three of us have capes.
We have capes. I flew there. I flew back in the cape,
right.
Yo. I flew back,
back
in the cape.
Yeah.
It was dope.
Awesome.
So thank you to, I believe it was Tara, who made me that. That was wonderful. Yeah, it was a really good time, and it's really good to be back. That is all I have to say
about
that.
That's great. Well, I would also like to. We have had some guests recently on some episodes because.
Oh, yes, we have!
Miss Cameron Esposito is on sabbatical. She is touring, not touring, but doing some dates. She is filming 3 movies. Wowza, that's what we talk about on this show, and
can
now she's making
movies,
them.
Can we say what movies she's filming? Because I'm very curious.
I don't know
what movies they are.
She's got 3 movies,
okay.
And I will, whenever she comes back, she can talk about them then. But they're going to be great. They're all, like, independent movies
Word.
With real awesome folks. One was in Chicago. The other two are going to be here.
Word.
Super cool. Met some of the people making them. It's pretty great. And then she's also working on a book that's going to come out, which is, of course, going to be great. And, of course, you are all going to purchase, because our dog, Murph the Derf, needs to eat. So I'd really appreciate it if you pre-order that, even though it's not available for pre-order just yet.
Is it Star Wars? I mean, and just nod or wink or something.
Wink!
Yes, I knew it! Yeah.
So that little adorable laughter that you're hearing that is not myself or Ricky Carmona is our guest for this episode, who is my mom, everybody. Let's welcome my mom. Hello, Mom. How are you doing?
I am doing great.
What's it like to be on a podcast in a weird booth in the middle of downtown Los Angeles?
It's a new experience.
Sure, yes. I wanted to have my mom on because she's in town for the weekend visiting Los Angeles for the first time. And we are going to talk about Terminator Genesis, which is in theaters now. So we're going to be talking about that movie at the end of the show. So if you haven't seen it yet, you know, get on out there, see it. I recommend seeing it. It's a fun summer movie, theater movie, I think. Ricky seems to be disagreeing with me already, and that's fine.
I feel
the
energy.
Episode's gonna be great for that reason. So we're gonna be talking about that at the end of the episode, and we do spoil the movie. So just heads up, if you're new to our show, we're gonna spoil it. So pause it when we get to it and come on back to it. But for now, we will be right back with some news, reviews, and things you can use after this.
Welcome Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Wham Bam Pow, an action sci-fi movie podcast. We have, I have sitting next to me, our host, Rhea Pampelmus Butcher.
That is me.
Tadao. And sitting also across from me, Rhea's mom, Mom. Tadao.
Excuse me, the mom.
The mom, sorry, the mom. Now, is that T-H-A apostrophe?
Yeah.
The mom?
Of course, yes.
Of course it is. Now this is the section of the show where we like to do movie news, but you know what? I actually looked through some movie news and I wasn't satisfied with what I saw.
Yeah, it's kind of, we're in like a weird position in the summer, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're starting to get now to like the downward slide of...
Post-All-Star break, everything goes downhill.
Exactly. My apologies to all you Cubs fans. The reality is about to start hitting.
Yeah.
So what I did was I found some trailers that came out in these last couple weeks. I listened to the episode last week where you guys talked about Comic-Con. And I don't want to get off track here,
sure.
But I did hear those shots fired on Thief and Heat. I heard those.
Yeah, wait, who shot first?
I was such in shock and awe of the blast that Thief is better than Heat.
Oh, I think that was Rick.
I
fainted.
Of
us, actually.
But yeah, it was kind of a group chorus of thank God Ricky's not here. But I heard that.
I will say I felt bad. I wished you had been here because, like, who wants everybody to agree? Congress clearly doesn't feel that way. We need somebody to dissent.
I was walking through pavilions doing some grocery shopping.
As you do.
As I do on a Saturday. And I heard that, and I had to hold on to the aisle. Like, my goodness, what is happening
yes.
here?
I'm so sorry, Ricky.
It's okay. I respect everyone's opinion on there. I let Jesse Thorne know on Twitter. Watch yourself.
He's wrong.
Watch yourself. Watch yourself. But back to the lecture at hand here. So I went to, I found these trailers, and if you guys have seen them, your
sure.
opinions on them. So let's start with the first one. If you hadn't seen them, I will explain to you what happens in the trailer.
Great.
Our first trailer is the movie The Martian. You guys seen the trailer to The Martian?
I have not seen the trailer.
I have not.
All right, let's explain it.
This is directed by my guy who just made the sci-fi classic Prometheus.
Oh.
Ridley Scott.
Oh, boy.
Yes, indeed. It stars...
So this is about God.
I'll tell you what it's not about. It's not about Marvin the Martian. Very disappointed
Which
in that.
Which is such a bummer. We
Very
need, like, a live action...
Thank you.
Marvin the Martian movie,
Thank you.
Please.
I mean, not even, like, a little audio snippet of him. Nothing.
Come on. Like, somebody wear a broom on their head, please.
I mean, irregardless, I will be showing up on opening day dressed as Marvin the Martian in protest.
Please do.
In protest. It stars. It's got a solid cast. Childish Gambino is up in this piece.
Oh, wow.
Michael.
Donald Glover for the
you.
Mom, who
thank
might
you.
Not know his alter ego, Childish Gambino.
I will need some translation.
I'll
translations on this, so thank
That's
you.
That's what I'm here for.
Michael, oh, damn, you and Ant-Man Pena. Is up in this?
Oh, yes. End of Watch, Michael Pena. You
know, one of our guys. A Ghostbuster is in this? You don't know which
Kate
one?
Kate McKinnon?
Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Wiig.
I was
nice.
Very surprised.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this
like,
is
oh,
a
damn.
Comedy?
It's not a comedy.
All right. Oh. I see what he's doing there.
Jessica, hello, my name is Ricky Chastain is in this movie.
Oh, hello,
Jessica.
All right.
I would just like to let you know I'm a fan of yours.
Jessica, wait, I thought you were Bryce Dallas Howard. Chastain. I'm confused.
We've never seen them in the same room
I know.
Together. We've never seen them in the same room together.
This is true.
And Chiawete Ejiofor.
Oh, wow.
Yes, which I just love to say that
yeah.
name. And it's about...
Do you want to hear a Midwesterner say it?
Do I?
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
That sounds like something I can order at a bar. I'll take a Chiwetel Ejiofor, please.
We got a Chiwetel Ejiofor over here. If you could give us a hand.
And it stars the one and only Matt Damon. I'm a big fan of this movie. Big fan of Matt Damon. And The Martian is about Matt Damon sciencing the shit out of things.
Okay.
That's what he says. And then you watch him science the shit out of things on Mars. He gets trapped on Mars.
Oh, nice. Yes, I'm aware.
Everybody
believes.
I've
seen a teaser of
yes.
this and not a trailer.
No,
so it's basically a new Interstellar
yes.
sort of thing, but it's, just with Mars. Instead
in like
of...
Castaway,
sure.
You know, he's, I mean, he talks to plants a lot, I'm getting in this one, a.k.a. Wilson, if you know what I mean,
yeah,
if you know what
I
I'm saying.
It. I get it. And A.k.a. Then... Wilted. That's what you call a slant rhyme.
I like that. I'm feeling that. And, oh, and also Jeff Daniels is all up in this piece. The one and only.
Nice.
Minnesota's own. I think he's from Minnesota.
Feels right.
Jeff Daniels. And, yeah, it looks all right.
I mean, that cast, the cast you're describing is pretty amazing.
Yep.
The idea you're describing is pretty amazing. The thing that is not amazing is Ridley Scott, just because he has let me down so much recently.
That was kind of how I felt when I saw the trailer. Like, I was like, oh, man, I just hope you don't fumble on this one.
I mean, it's definitely going to be about God.
It looks amazing.
I'm sure
visually,
the trailer makes it look like it's not, but it's going to be about God.
You think so?
Yes, because he's in that time period of, in his career and his age where he is just like, what does it all mean? Because he keeps making God movies. I mean, he made the weird Egyptian movie with white people.
Oh, that's right. I remember that, yeah.
Gods
and,
men
and then I
or
forgot
whatever.
That.
Yeah. Yep. The eyeliner movie.
What is it?
I don't know. Making fun of it. Because they're Egyptian people played by someone named Christian Bale and Joel Edgerton.
I mean, Hollywood does not have a history of doing that,
so I let that
one slide.
So, Mom, is this a trailer that you have seen, heard of, aware of?
It seems like I didn't see the trailer, but the... teaser that you were talking about, because I remember seeing Matt Damon doing something.
Mm-hmm. So how does it sound to you? I remember Matt Damon doing something.
He was doing something.
It might have been on Mars. I'm not sure.
And when you say Matt Damon, I'm all in.
Sure.
Oh, is that
right?
There you go. Nice.
Yeah. So based on Ricky's description of this trailer that you have not seen.
Crystal clear description.
Probably will see.
Amazing description.
Would you go see this movie?
As I said,
okay.
I'd be
all right.
In.
She's there. She's there for Matt Damon.
I like that.
I'm on the fence. I would like to see the trailer first. And then, you know, I'll see the damn trailer.
I will say that there is the visual style of like what he thinks spaceships look like in the future, like Alien.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that continues. It feels like there's one room that he walks in where it's like, is this where Mother is? Is that what's happening here?
Yeah,
which is really great.
So it's lit up.
Lit up. Yeah, there's
a lot of lights.
A lot of Christmas lights in the background.
A lot of lights. Yeah. Awesome.
The next trailer I saw. This stars Leonardo DiCaprio. It stars Tom, I am acting, Hardy, and a bunch of people I've never seen before. But it's called The Revenant, and it's directed by Alejandro G. Iñárritu.
Oh, okay.
And that movie looks amazing. The trailer starts off, it's one shot of Leo all bloody and, like, bearded out. And he, like, looks around with this, like, pistol, and then he, like, you know, the camera's following him, and it goes to this mountain, and there's this huge, like, avalanche coming down of snow, and then he, like, he turns around more, and, like, all these Indians, like, just all start coming over this mountain, and then he starts running,
Native Americans,
and the camera, my apologies, or maybe it's the Cleveland Indians, you can't tell.
Sure,
you can't tell, there's a lot of makeup in this movie.
Yeah, Carlos Baerga's coming down the mountain.
Jim Tomey's on a horse, I'm like, yes, get him, Jim. And then it just starts to cut. I mean, this opening shot is like 30 seconds long, and it's amazing. I hope it's like Birdman, where it's just like huge long shots. So he's like running, and then Tom Hardy shows up, and he's like, I'm acting, I'm acting, I'm acting, look at me act. And then Leo DiCaprio is just like bleeding from his beard, like blood is like coming off his beard.
The beard is bleeding?
The beard is bleeding.
I hear that happens sometimes.
And then he's on a horse. And then he's got a mask on, and then there's a lot of torches, a lot of people walking around with torches, and then he's on a boat, and then the arrows start getting shot. And
I love
the camera,
this description
like,
of the, this
again.
Movie I would see.
Oh,
if I went into the theater, if I bought a ticket, I got my medium popcorn, no butter, salt, napkins, and a Diet Coke, and I went into the theater, and on the screen was simply you describing this movie, and then in front of me was Leo DiCaprio and Tom Hardy just acting out what you were doing. I would give them $1 million.
Yes! I mean, it looks insane. And the last shot in the movie is Leo on a horse, and the camera's like right here in front of him, and he's just like all freaking out, and he turns around. And then the camera, like, follows him turning around. And he's just being chased by all these other, like, Native Americans and Jim Tomey.
Great job.
On a horse. And they all start shooting arrows at him. And he's, like, shooting, like, he's, like, trying to, like, shoot the shotgun back at them. And the camera's just, like, following him for a while. And he's all, like, breathing heavy.
Uh-huh.
Just, like, stays on him. And he's, like, and then The Revenant.
Wow.
And you're like, yes.
That sounds like Back to the Future Part 3. Are you sure that he's not in the DeLorean?
I looked very closely for Mary Steenburgen. Very yeah, closely.
She wasn't in there. Well, I mean, I'm curious to see what Inuritu, that is what his next piece is. I'm curious to see how it goes since Birdman was showered with praise. Curious to see where he goes with that. I haven't seen that trailer yet because I've been so busy. But it's all right, and I'm going to watch it. Mom, have you seen that trailer?
I have not.
No.
You're a big Tom Hardy fan, right?
So I was going to say, yeah. I'm there. I am a fan.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
It looks pretty amazing.
Is this a December release?
It might be. I mean, I was just so much in like, damn, that was nuts, that I watched it again. Mm-hmm. And then I left. And then I left.
Then you just threw your laptop in the trash, and you're like, well, this is worthless now.
I cannot take this anymore.
I've seen it all.
I just chucked it.
Amazing.
Yeah, it looks really insane.
Awesome. So do you have a third one for
us? I do. The final trailer I saw for this small little series of movies that have been made, and I feel like now they've really knocked it
out. They really hit their stride
They really hit their stride with this one.
Found their audience.
Oh, finally, they found their niche.
Yeah.
And they're hitting it hard.
Yeah.
This movie is called Spectre with it's James Bond.
How do you pronounce that?
Which one, Spectre or James Bond?
I was just trying to say something nonsense. I always thought it was James Boond.
James Boond. I actually like to say James Bomb Bomb and do like the whole music thing, and then Bond.
It depends on which James Bond you're referencing, you know?
That is also true.
Yeah.
I sometimes I throw a little Live and Let Die in.
The whole song in between James. Na 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 na. Sing the whole song, seven-minute song.
They have to bring the piano in. I don't know why I thought that. Well, because the first time I heard that song as a grown-up was Guns N' Roses version.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, man, Guns N' Roses made a really good song.
Sure, and then you're like, oh, right.
Oh, that's not Guns N' Roses.
They didn't make it.
And this movie looks great. And this one is about James Bond, and he's being all sexy, like running from stuff is blowing up, and he's got this gun, and he's in Mexico, and he blows up this room, and then Christoph Waltz shows up, but he's like always in shadow, and he's like, I am the reason, James, why you are doing all these things.
I mean, I am there just because Christoph Waltz is the villain. I mean, he's like a perfect Bond villain.
And I don't know which villain he's playing yet. They're being kind of like mysterious. They're not being annoying Star Trek 2 mysterious.
Yeah.
You just like can't tell, like, are
just
you?
Just like, he's mysterious.
Yes.
His entity is mysterious. Yes. Not like, oh, will he be blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. And if he's blah, 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 I will be so disappointed.
Such a letdown if he's blah, blah, blah. My least favorite James Bond.
Which was?
Blah, blah, blah.
You only live blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. Well, James, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
And then there's this like cool shot of like this helicopter that goes like way up in the air, and it does like this 360, and James Bond is inside it.
You know what is crazy? It is that 2015 is the year of helicopters.
Yeah.
We've had so many helicopters, which we'll be talking about later when we get into our Terminator Genesis review. It's really helicopter heavy this year.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Hollywood's like, hey, we have these things. We almost forgot about it.
I think it might be it's like the new special effect they figured out. Last year, it was the exploding moon or like far off, like blown up planet in the skyline. I think this year it's look what we can do with helicopters now.
Hey, helicopter.
Hey, put the rock in a helicopter. Watch this.
Yeah. Oof, so good. Well, I mean, I'll definitely see that Bond movie because I really liked the last one that whose name escapes me now.
Skyfall.
Thank you.
Yes. This one's directed by Sam Mendes, director of Skyfall.
Yeah. Well, perfect.
Yeah, it looks really, really good.
Awesome.
And it's got my boy from Cloud Atlas in it and my girl Monica Bellucci. What's up?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
I can't remember that dude's name, but I like him too. He's like
you know what I'm talking about.
The weapons guy and plate smasher.
Yes, the composer.
Yeah, the composer.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
So one last thing in our news, reviews, and things you can use segment that I wanted to mention is that my mom and I went to the Gamble House last night. Mm. They had an event.
Beautiful.
Where they called it the Gamble House Goes Back to the Future. And I bought tickets to it a couple months ago. They had this whole Back to the Future event planned. They had a bunch of DeLoreans, like people that own.
Yes.
Some of them were just straight up DeLoreans, and some of them were people that had made picture-like cars. There were a couple Mr. Fusions.
God.
And then there was one that had an out-of-time license plate,
yes.
like the actual license plate, and they built the hook from
yes.
the first one
yes.
for the, you know, the lightning strike. So they had those DeLoreans set up. They had a DeLorean picture booth. They had another DeLorean at that picture booth where you could get your photo taken in front of that, in front of the garage, which is, you know, 1985 Doc's house, 1955 Doc's, like, experiment laboratory thing. And then we watched the movie
what?
In the yard
yes.
in between
what?
The Gamble house and the garage. And we also got
what?
To go on like a quick little tour of the Gamble house itself, which was, I mean, if you live in Los Angeles or you're visiting Los Angeles and you're a Back to the Future fan or even a casual one, it's a beautiful home architecturally. It was built by the Green Brothers. And all of it, the whole house is built by hand. And everything that
Amazing.
Was, almost everything in that house, the furniture, was built for that house.
Wow.
There's only a couple items of manufactured furniture that they put in, mostly for the servants. because they were like, yeah, they only get Stickley furniture.
Yes. So, like, and Tiffany lamps.
Yeah, and Tiffany lamps and stuff like that. But, it was super fun. There were a bunch of people
Beautiful.
Dressed up. There was a dad and a daughter dressed
this
up
so
together.
Amazing.
The dad was dressed up as the Save the Clock Tower lady.
Nice.
His costume wasn't necessarily nailing it, but his heart was nailing
there
it.
There you go.
So whatever. He
there
had
you
the thing, and he was passing out flyers. I said, here, lady, here's a quarter. And then his daughter was dressed up as Doc with the mind reader invention. And she had built the whole thing, and it even turned on. Yep. And she
oh,
used
word.
Like a little copper funnel for the suction
oh,
cup,
nice.
And she put double stick tape on it so it would stick
yeah.
to her head. So it was just super fun. And then
yeah.
they played an interesting short that I think you can find on the internet. This gentleman who now lives in, I guess, Lorraine's house or the house behind the tree. Which was it, Mom? Do you remember?
I believe he owns the tree.
The tree is on
yes.
his property.
He's across from
so
Lorraine.
His house is the house behind the tree in Back to the Future Part 1, the Peeping Tom tree.
The Peeping
and so
Tom
he
tree.
Made, all these people kept coming to the tree, and he was like, what the hell is going on? He didn't realize that was
yeah.
what it was. He found this out. So it's a cute little 15-minute mm-hmm. short, but the amazing thing about it, that I cannot believe they got clearance to put this in this short, he started talking to the neighbors in his neighborhood, about this whole experience. And
the guy who owns the tree.
The guy who owns the tree.
Gotcha.
He found a neighbor who, when they were filming Back to the Future Part 2 in 1988, was camcording their filming, the scene where, because Biff's grandmother's house is also on that street.
Ooh.
There's a bunch of 55 houses all on that street. He's standing outside of his house trying to film. They were shooting the night shot when Biff and Doc pass each other. Doc is on a bike
yeah.
and Biff is leaving to go to the dance.
Love that moment.
It's
Ooh.
Such a great moment
yeah.
when they see each other. And he was filming and they're like, you can't be out here. You can't do that. So he goes inside his house upstairs and films from upstairs. He filmed the take that they used
oh, wow.
in the movie.
Wow.
And I cannot believe they were able to put that in there.
Yeah.
That's
so
amazing.
Watch it now before it gets taken down. Find it. I think it's
yeah.
called Back to the Future on Bushnell Street.
Or Avenue.
Avenue, yes.
Yeah.
So
that
amazing.
Sounds great. I have a question for the mom. Is this was yesterday the first time, or when did you both go? Was it yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah.
Was that the first time that you've had to drag Rhea crying out of a place since she was a child?
Because
I can't even imagine Rhea being like, all right, we should leave now.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Well, I told her, because we had a long day, I wanted to take her to a bunch of different filming locations, and California being California, it just didn't happen.
And this is also why your daughter's the greatest. That's her schedule free. We're going to go to film locations.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
That's
yeah.
professional. Professional, Rhea.
So when we got there, I was like, I'm pretty tired. I don't know if I'm going to make it through the whole thing. And then I was like, what am I talking about? Of course, I can't not see To Be Continued. Like,
come on yeah, now.
That'll be the moment that I'll be ready to leave when it says To Be Continued. So, Mom, just give us a quick little outro of the time that you had yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you kept it a secret from me.
Yes.
And
nice.
We, you know, we were doing things all day and the plans kept changing,
yes.
which was great. We were just... you know, sort of taking it on the McFly, as we said.
Yeah.
And it was just really, we were having a lovely day, and I have no idea. But I realized that the Gamble House is on the list, and at one point it became, oh, well, you know, we're probably just going to get to the Gamble House. Yeah. So that's going to be okay, right? Yeah, absolutely, it's going to be okay. So we get there, and we were actually kind of early, and yeah. there are all the DeLoreans all lined yeah. up. And she says, well, I think you can see that there's something going on here. So it was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I was just so excited.
This was like the first time you got to see Back to the Future with people other than me and family
absolutely.
Members.
Absolutely.
Because you hadn't seen it in the theater,
correct.
Right?
Correct. I had only seen it on
yes, you rented
video.
It.
It was VHS
yes.
at the time.
Yeah.
And
I
with
remember
my,
this time.
With my,
classic time.
With my very young little girl,
four.
We watched. Yes. We watched this movie, and it was a great experience.
Yep.
And I was just seeing everybody else getting into it as much as we do
yeah.
was really, really great. I just had it was a really great time.
Could you tell the first time that you watched Back to the Future, Rhea, that she was like, oh, this is going to be a movie that stays with her forever?
I think so, because we were such movie kids. You know, her and I together, we watched so many movies, and we, you know, you can tell the ones that you love right away.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
The moment the movie's over, you just can't stop smiling.
Yeah. And you hit you rewind.
And you hit rewind. Yeah, that's yeah. the beauty yeah. of watching it at home yeah. is that, you know, and it's just, you can't get enough of it. So yeah, yeah, we both pretty much knew right away. This
yeah.
was really a classic for us.
Yeah,
so.
It's a movie that made us.
Yes.
That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah. And a special treat. We will be back with that exact segment, the movie that made my mom, right after this.
I'm Jesse Thorne.
I'm Jordan Morris.
The federal government has millions of dollars in programs and opportunities that you need to seize today.
You're a taxpayer, right? Well, then you've got it coming.
Thanks to Uncle Sam, you can learn to get grants for education.
Learn to ride a llama.
Print money the old-fashioned way.
Force your dog to stop being so rambunctious.
Make a souffle that sets and stays set.
Mount the heads of your enemies on spikes.
Grind your own corrective lenses using just rock salt and diamonds.
For all of this and more, drop us a line.
Don't wait. Right now.
Jordan Jesse Go, 123 iTunes Street, or wherever you download podcasts.
All right, we're back with a segment that is close to my heart, Movies That Made Us. This is a segment that we like to talk with new folks about the movies that made them the movie fans that they are today. And today it's an extra special one because my mom is going to do a movie that made her. So, Mom, what movie made you?
Indiana Jones.
Ah,
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the
Ark.
Yes, I was going to say by its proper name.
By its proper name.
The Lost Ark.
Yes.
Because it's not technically Indiana Jones.
Yes.
When did you see this movie? Did you see it in the theater? Did you go see it with people? Did you go by yourself? What happened?
I saw it in the theater.
Awesome.
I saw it in the theater with some friends.
What theater did you see it in?
Oh, I'm sorry to say I do not remember.
Oh, that's all right.
Probably the Lynn.
I was going to say, was it the Lynn? Because
probably
I have mentioned that theater on the show.
Yes.
This, if the huge fans of the show will remember that this theater is the single screen theater that I've talked about before that had the concessions upstairs.
That's right.
So you would not miss any of the movie
yes.
when you go get your popcorn and Junior Mints.
Lovely place.
So I love that theater. Unfortunately, burned the hell down.
Oh,
but what are you going to do? So you saw this movie. Did you go with pals? How did you find out about the movie? Because this is 1981.
This is 1981. This is basically like the hit movie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That everybody's talking about.
Right.
So I go to see it.
Yes. So everybody's
gone to see it, and I want to.
Is a buzz about Raiders of the Lost Ark. And I think you mentioned to me last night that you saw something about it on television before you went to see it.
No, this was after.
Oh, so you saw this after. What did you see after?
There was a documentary that I just happened to find on PBS.
Yeah, because this is when NoTiVo, right?
NoTiVo.
Yeah.
There was a time with NoTiVo?
There was a time.
Crazy, right?
And basically, if you didn't have TV Guide, you didn't know what was on.
Yeah. And this is when TV Guide was the small size.
Correct.
They even print TV Guide anymore?
I don't know.
I mean, I have TV Guide on my phone.
I believe so. It's
they made
it's
a larger
format.
Yeah, which is super weird.
Yeah, that's when I bowed out the TV Guide.
Like,
I was like,
if I can't put that thing in my pocket, then
exactly.
I don't need it at all.
I used to love the fall TV preview on TV Guide.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cheers and Jeers was always my favorite.
Cheers and Jeers, yo!
I used to read the shit out of the Cheers and Jeers. Hey, and remember, this is just a side note to nostalgia the heck out of it, which they still have. I think Dave Holmes tweeted about it. But VCR Plus, do you remember VCR Plus? That was like the precursor to TiVo when like it was a programmed in chip or something into your VCR that then connected to, there was a number in TV Guide and you would put your VCR Plus number in if you wanted to record Cheers or something.
Yeah. It would know to record that
show. It would know to record that show. You didn't have to set the timer, which remember you used to have to set the timer to the goddamn show.
One of the few times I got upset with my mom and verbally was when I was a huge fan of NYPD Blue and I had it all set up and I think she pushed, again, sure. I'm not now at this age. I'm giving my mom the benefit of the doubt.
Of course, yes.
Maybe she didn't push the button, but I think she might have pushed the button.
There's a big chance that she pushed that button.
Because this is also the time before, you know, you couldn't just watch the episode.
Yeah, there was nowhere else to see it.
If I don't watch
you had
that,
to wait till summer for it to come back on again.
Reruns, Mom.
Reruns.
I don't even know what happens to Sipowicz tonight.
Yeah, now everybody's like, shut up about it. I got it. Like, if you don't watch it that night, then everybody's tweeting about it. You have to stay off the internet for 4 days. You basically had to stay off talking to people for 6 months.
I mean,
because you missed that episode.
I was also like 17, and there was not a huge 17-year-old group of people watching NYPD Blue.
Well, every time you went to the DMV, you were in trouble. Somebody was going to spoil. So, Mom, when you saw this movie, what is it that grabbed you about this movie right away? What did you love about it? What feeling did it give you? And then how did it affect how you watched movies from there on out?
Well, I really loved that it was action, but it felt like really relatable for me because it was so fun and funny. And I, of course, loved Harrison Ford from Star Wars.
Yeah.
So had to see it for that, another added reason.
Sure.
So, and yeah, it just changed the way I looked at movies and felt when I went to the movies.
Yeah.
I felt really kind of more into the movie instead of, oh, I'm going to see a movie.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I felt like it just really engrossed me more.
So this was like the first action movie that you had sought out and gone to see, then.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah, I had seen, you know, Live and Let Die in the theater, and, you know, it was just a movie experience for me.
But like this Bond movies are kind of their own entity. Mm-hmm. You know what they are going into them, that they're going to be this spy thing and stuff like that. But this is the first time that you went to something kind of not knowing what it was going to be a little bit, and then having a good experience with action.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, also, just because I'm a huge fan of the whole movie-going experience, and my favorite movie theater here is the Vista, and it's a one-screen theater. And so when you get there, you have to wait in line.
Yeah.
Where there are already people, and I love waiting in line, because that's when, like, the energy starts to happen. Of like, oh, shit, we're going to watch this movie. Yeah. When you went to go see Raiders, was there, like, a huge line of
huge
people
line.
Waiting to go in?
Huge line, packed. First time I think I ever sat in a full theater as well, you know? So just,
That's so great. Such,
everybody's experiencing it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, really. Like, I have memories of, like, waiting to see, like, Return of the Jedi in line and just being like, this is going to happen! And you could tell everybody was ready to lose their mind.
Yeah. Did you get a good seat?
Yes.
Despite there being a line, you weren't stuck in the front?
Correct. Because
I know you were stuck in the front for Dances with Wolves. I'll never forget that for the rest of my life. She went to see Dances with Wolves. She was like, I was stuck in the front. And then she just put her face straight up.
I need some. There is a spiritual thing happening with Dances with Wolves right now. This is the third day that movie has been brought up.
You've seen it, right?
I saw it at the Davis when it first came out back in Chicago. I think it's great. I haven't seen it in years, so I don't know how much it holds up. But just yesterday, I was talking to somebody and he goes, Tatanka.
I am curious to see if it holds up because I just watched Bull Durham for, I don't know, the 10,000th time.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it in a whole new light. I mean, that movie is continually held up, but it is one of those movies that you re-experience every time.
I think
and
so,
I feel
absolutely.
Like Raiders is one of those movies where you just continually see new things, and then you have the blessing, I think, of the series.
Yes.
Even though, you know, sequels, it's like a money grab and stuff, but I feel like Temple of Doom is a little weird, but I love Last Crusade. A lot of people think it's crappy.
I love Last Crusade.
I think it capitalizes on something that Back to the Future was already doing, which is like the movie itself being rewarding and the world within it, there always being more things, you know, referencing hats and names and I don't know, just everything is re-referenced and it's so much fun.
Yes.
And so that's really awesome that that Raiders of the Lost Ark, excuse me, is the movie.
You're her daughter. I can see why that's happening.
So Raiders of the Lost Ark is the movie that made my mom. And we will be back with another important movie, Terminator Genesis, right after this.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Hal, and we're the hosts of We Got This,
the show that offers definitive answers to dumb debates that you suggest.
Every Wednesday, we discuss the hot button topics you never knew you cared so much about, like whether you should put ketchup on a hot dog.
What's the best Star Wars movie?
Whether it's better to be too hot or too cold.
Coke or Pepsi?
Best Marvel movie.
Which is the best religion?
I told you we're not doing that one.
So join us every week on MaximumFun.org, and don't worry, everyone. We got this.
We got this.
All right, we're back with a review of Terminator Genesis. This movie is in theaters now, and we are going to talk about everything about the movie. So this is your spoiler warning. So if you haven't seen it yet and you do not want to be spoiled on it, just give a little pause on that podcast button. And then go see it, and then come back and listen to us, or listen to it because you don't give a shit. Either way, you're going to have a great time. So this movie, like I said, is in theaters now. The plot synopsis via IMDb is...
I'm excited to hear this.
John Connor sends Kyle Reese back in time to protect Sarah Connor, but when he arrives in 1984, nothing is as he expected it to be. That's a funny... All right. The top-billed cast for this movie, Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course, which, oddly, in IMDb, he is billed as Guardian.
Oh, really?
I think that's incorrect.
They don't have him in there as Pops?
Or the Terminator, either way. Then we also have Jason Clarke as John Connor, Amelia Clarke as Sarah Connor, Jay Courtney as Kyle Reese, and then we have J.K. Simmons as O'Brien, the criminally underused J.K.
Yes.
Simmons.
Yes.
We also have Courtney B. Vance as Miles Dyson, which is hello. And then that's about it for... Okay. This movie is directed by Alan Taylor, who also directed the second Thor, which I kind of liked. It was much better than the first Thor, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky, do you know other stuff that he did? Game of Thrones? Is he Game of Thrones?
Is he Game of Thrones guy or is he True Blood guy?
He
is. I thought he was True Blood guy.
Game of Thrones. He is Boardwalk Empire. Yeah. He is Nurse Jackie. He is Bored to Death. So
I'm thinking Alan Ball. Is that True Blood guy?
That's true. He created it. 6 feet Under as
Okay.
Beauty. This was also written by Leta Kalogridis, Patrick Lussier, and then James Cameron gets character credit as well.
People
as
wrote
Gail
this movie.
Ann Hurt. Yep, it's there's, human.
There, is
human
there video footage? Is there some kind of footage of people actually sitting down and writing these words?
No, it's the DVDs of the Terminator, Terminator 2, Judgment Day, Terminator 3, and Terminator Salvation. The DVDs wrote it. They just stacked them on top of each other, and then they wrote the movie together.
They put them in a microwave, they melted together, and they said, here it is.
So, Mom, general thoughts on this movie. Did you have fun watching this movie?
Yes.
You had a good time?
Yes.
I also had a good time in the theater. I went to see it at the Vista, as we were talking about earlier, and I just had a good time. I would say for the first half of the movie, my eyes were wide open and my mouth was agape, and I was just having this amazing time watching. I felt as though I had been given the opportunity to go back in time to 1984 and go to the theater and watch The Terminator for the first time, having not ever seen it before. I felt a little bit like I got to have a mind wipe to go see it because the screenwriters are very open about the fact that they just wanted to make Back to the Future Part 2 in the Terminator franchise. And in that, I think they succeeded because they took the movie and they showed it to you from another angle.
Mm-hmm.
They figured out a way to write around stuff that had already happened. And I liked that about it.
Yeah.
Ricky, I don't think you liked that. what are your opening thoughts about that?
This movie is horrible. I mean, it's so horrible.
No!
Horrible.
Say it isn't so.
Oh, real. I mean, to use the Back to the Future Part 2 thing. Yeah, but there's still like forward motion that's happening in Back to the Future Part 2 where you're like, okay, that is happening. Because, I mean, there's consequences to it. In Terminator Genesis, it doesn't feel like there's any consequences to anything.
Sure.
Things are getting wiped out just so they can move forward to the next scene because there's another movie coming after this.
Yeah.
There's not really any kind of... I felt like there was zero stakes in this movie. I felt like everything was, all right, we're going to explain this to you, and then after that scene, we're going to jump in time, and then it's going to be explained again what's going to happen next.
Sure.
Until it gets to the end of the movie.
I do think they didn't hit the tension well. There are moments of that could create tension, even if you're going to create tension for another movie,
mm-hmm.
that you could have created the tension a little bit harder.
Yeah.
Like, giving us shadowy figures that sent Pops back in time. Let's give everybody a recap that Mr. Arnold Schwarzenegger is referred to as Pops because in this timeline, because we've skewed into a new timeline, into an alternate 1984, wherein the Terminator has been sent back to the 70s when Sarah Connor was a child, staying up at her grandparents' house in Big Bear.
It just...
and does memory serve me correctly that her parents have been killed by Terminators?
Yes.
And that's why she's... Is that true, Mom?
Yes.
Okay.
She hides under the dock.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so he saves her there. Yes. So the supposed tension and drama is that we don't know who sent... Like, even the Terminator doesn't know. It's been wiped out of his memory.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know who sent him back to...
Yes.
Which I think is interesting, but they didn't...
They do
it's not shadowy
it.
Enough.
Yeah. They
yet.
Do nothing with it.
They spend a little too much time on Doctor Who being the physical manifestation of Genesis or whatever the AI operating system thing. I know Ricky is rolling his eyes so hard they're falling out of his
face. The movie, it's too much fan service.
But all it is
like to distract you. It's like Las Vegas.
That's all they've got, though, because if you don't do fan service, then you end up with Terminator Salvation, which is like, what are you even? You're just wandering around in the desert.
At least with Salvation, they're like, well, let's do a new story. I mean, this one is like,
are
hey,
you
remember...
gonna tell me that you like Terminator Salvation more than this?
No, not at all.
God,
not at
I
all.
I thought we were gonna not be friends.
But I'm not. But I'm not gonna. I mean, This movie is going to get one pass from me when we get to our worst and best part.
Okay.
Everything else is just like, you're just distracting me from the fact that this is a bad movie. I think casting, what's her name? Emilia Clarke is horrible as Sarah Clarke.
I think
Clarke.
She is a little...
horrible.
You mean Sarah Connor.
What did I say?
Sarah Clarke. There's
Sarah
a lot of Clarks
Clark.
In this
there's
movie.
A lot of Clarke.
I think you just, there's Jason Clarke there and go. Emilia Clarke in this movie.
When I don't want to refer to Terminator 2... Because that's unfair.
Sure.
I mean, that movie's on its own level.
Yeah.
But when you first see Linda Hamilton, when she turns around from doing push-ups, you're like,
Ricky.
I'm sorry, pull-ups. She's been through some shit since the last time we saw her.
Yeah. Right.
And you buy it right away.
Yeah.
When she shows up in the truck and opens up the car door, I'm just like...
But I mean, one thing, to play the devil's advocate here, she hasn't been through those things because she was intercepted at a point... Where she was a child.
Yes,
so she hasn't been the waitress. She hasn't been...
She's a badass now.
But but she's also young.
Yes.
She's younger than she was in Terminator 2. I agree with you. I don't know that she was able to handle this film. I think she tried really hard. Mm-hmm. I think that she is physically too small.
Yeah, they look like they're wearing costumes. I mean, it looks like they're make-believe.
She's physically too small, and Jay Courtney is too big.
He's a big guy.
Like, he's way too built to be Kyle Reese, because the whole... thing in Terminator is that Kyle Reese is a human being.
Exactly.
Versus a machine that is, like, huge.
Yeah. Right.
So, Mom, what are your general thoughts? You enjoyed it, you said. What do you think of what we're saying now?
I sound like a raving lunatic.
No. Well, here's what I took. I took away that I liked that they were rebooting. I liked that...
Sure.
I actually liked that Sarah was already strong when we got there, and... figuring out that, hey, this is what the change is. She's been doing, the training since she was this
age.
Child,
And this whole thing has also been put on her.
Put on her, and she has the expectation.
She's not like, I know what's going to happen, so I'm going to take care of this, which is Terminator 2.
Yeah.
And then in this one, it's more like, oh, this is what's going to happen to you, so you better do it.
Yeah.
She's almost John Connor in this movie from Terminator 2. She's the put-upon kid that's
Like,
well, this is stupid.
Yeah, and yeah. So I really like that. I really like that. I like the ambiguity with Arnold.
Sure.
And
yes.
I like evolution of him. I liked it.
Yeah.
I was smiling Yeah. I left the theater smiling.
I mean, it was like really fun. Did. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun watching this movie. I took it just for what it was.
Right.
And I am a huge fan of 1 and 2.
Yeah, huge fan.
And I loved the homage to it, the references to those.
Yeah. Did you know, speaking of homages, and then after we'll just get into our best and worst after this, did you guys know that the Nike Vandal sneaker that Kyle Reese steals in the first movie that then they needed to reproduce. Nike doesn't make that combo anymore. So the costume designer of this movie went to Nike and said, I need you to make me this shoe. And they were like, we're not going to make you that shoe. We would have to stop production to make you this shoe. Just use the custom, because you can make custom Nikes online. You can do that for a long time. Mm-hmm. You make the Vandals. And she was like, no. You need to make me this sneaker. I can't make it exactly the way I need to make it on this customizer thing, so you need to make this for me. And then they did.
Wow.
So Nike shut down a factory just to make 25 pairs of J. Courtney-sized Vandals for that movie. And that costume designer, it's in the IMDb trivia, it's like, she considers this to be the biggest coup of her career. Which is, I mean, Nike is like one of the biggest corporations in the universe.
In the galaxy. I think universe is more on point.
So, like, crazy that she got those shoes to.
That's dope. They worked harder on the shoe than the script. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Good for them.
I agree.
Boogie
with
for
them.
Them.
I agree with you. So, let's do our best part first. Ricky, what was your best part?
Hey, my apologies to Arnold Schwarzenegger that you had to be there for this, bro. Deserves so much better. So, I mean, from when he shows up, I was like, there he is. Now right. I will start. Now I'm
Griffith
starting
Park.
To get invested. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he just...
But how about that?
He's like a perfect example of, I mean, it's kind of cliche to say this now, of like, you're a movie star, dude. When you're on screen, all my focus is on you.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else just falls away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because I thought everybody else is so miscast, I mean, I was like, I didn't need anything else. They could have made a completely new Terminator movie just with Arnold.
Absolutely.
You didn't need to keep bringing those characters back. Also, make Arnold an evil Terminator. He's only been a bad Terminator in one movie in the whole series.
you're right. Yeah.
You know,
that's
so like flip
point.
It that way. Like,
give us
something. Yeah, you know, if we're gonna do some kind of like, you know,
that's a really good point.
I think that would be very interesting. Well, I mean, I don't. Maybe he likes this image of, like, you know, I'm Arnold now. I kind of, like, have this thing that I live up to. Fine.
Or allow, because we do have the evil Arnold Terminator in this movie via CGI, allow for that fight to last a little bit longer in the film instead of it being, you know, a 10-minute thing. Because I really enjoyed the moment when they're getting to see the moment that they're sent back in time. Because that was real. I really loved seeing that.
Yeah.
Ricky and I are very against finding out what the space jockey's history is, because I like that there's no explanation in Alien and it's just a crazy looking thing. But for this one, it was fun to see that. And I was sitting in the theater watching Kyle Reese. He doesn't know to bend down like the Terminator knows, because they built the machine and it's built into his brain. Like, he knows to kneel down because he'll be on the ground. But Kyle is just floating, and that's why he falls on the ground, because he doesn't know. And I love that. That is a detail that I really like.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'll just go into my best part.
What was your best part, Rhea?
My best part is, I have two, and my best part is that moment, getting to see when they're charging the castle of Castle Skynet, basically, of like getting to see that moment. And I thought they choreographed it well. It felt real. And the moment where you go, oh, they won, but they didn't, because they got sent back in time.
Mm-hmm.
Realizing in that timeline, they won. They beat Skynet, but they didn't, because they made it. They sent the Terminator back. You know, there's this brief moment of like, oh, we did it. We did it. But then you realize, like, oh, they didn't do it, because now the timeline has started. And I loved seeing, you know, that moment of Kyle being in the air and being like, oh, that's why he falls on the ground, because they didn't know he needs to kneel down. Like, that, like, that's great.
I believe that Kyle Reese performance more by you right there than anything that Jay Courtney did in the movie.
Yeah, make me Kyle Reese.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
That is a reboot.
That's what I'm saying. Like, think outside the box,
where
people.
Kyle Reese and Sarah Connor have to go to a sperm bank in 1984. I've been thinking about this for years. I've been looking at your photo just thinking about, like, well, what guy will we pick out?
The chemistry that they have.
Yeah. I actually have three. I'm so sorry.
Rhea, I can't believe
this. It's going to be so fast.
I can't believe you like this movie,
Rhea. We took a week off, and so I'm going to take a little time. And my other one is, I love that this is like an abortion movie. This movie is a conversation about like the two of them making a decision of whether or not they should have this kid. And I think it is crazy, and I think it's amazing that she is saying, like, no, this is my choice. Yeah. Like, you think you can just come here and this is what we're supposed to do, and I just have to do it? I love that they allowed her to say that as Sarah Connor. I love that they, in a movie, even, I love that they allowed a woman to say that in a movie. Like, I'm not sure that this is even what I want to do. What if we just don't have John Connor? Maybe that's what we need to do. You know, like, we've never had that conversation before. Mm-hmm. So I liked that part of it. And then also, that helicopter fight is amazing. And Jay Courtney is like, hold her back. Like, he doesn't tell the Terminator to shoot John Connor. He tells him to help Sarah Connor. She gets to shoot whatever the thing is that's chasing them in the helicopter.
Yeah.
And then another one just popped in. Oh, this is the last one because it is such an homage to Back to the Future Part 2. I love that they just knock out Kyle Reese because he's asking too many questions. They just Jennifer Parker him in the van. I like threw my arms up. I was like, that's Jennifer Parker. They just made him Jennifer Parker. They should just set him on a pile of used laser discs.
Yes.
So those are my 10 best parts of this movie. So, Mom, what is your best part of this movie? And don't follow my lead. Try to keep it to one. I'm so sorry. So what was your best part?
I would have to say probably getting more of the Kyle-John interaction.
Yeah, getting to see the father and son thing.
Having never seen Salvation.
Oh, you mean like the pre stuff where they're I would agree with you there too. Yes. Where they're like, it's funny because John is interacting as though that's his dad.
Yes.
And obviously Kyle Reese doesn't realize that's his dad. They like know each other. He's like, yeah, he only talks to me about it. Yeah. Blah 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 blah, which is like funny and cute.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's your best part?
That's a good one.
That's a great best part. So Ricky.
Yeah.
What are your 10 worst parts?
Like I said, the casting is terrible. I just didn't believe any of them. I mean, I think that's an interesting conversation that they had in the movie, but it did not make it. I wasn't like, all right, this is saving it. I was just like, there is zero chemistry between the both of you. There's no way I believe that Sarah Connor would fall in love with that Kyle Reese, or that they would even.
Yeah. Just
on the surface. I think she would just be like, no, this isn't happening. And then I get to see that movie. And I would rather see that movie. J.K. Simmons, what are you doing in this movie?
Yeah.
Why are you here?
He was so great.
Yeah.
That was another moment of like, hey, let's just remind people that they like Terminator.
Yeah.
I don't need that. The action was, the fight with Arnold was okay.
The two Arnolds
was all right. But everything else was, I didn't care at all. Oh. They're playing you're playing the theme music, the Cops. In a movie when it's going to be like so like heavy and serious, and there's like a little bit of like comedy, like, you know, it just kind of eases the tension. Okay, cool, now we can laugh at this. But that movie is so bad at like not knowing what its tone is or what the theme of the movie is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I just didn't know, like, what are you trying to tell me about time and responsibility and who we are as people in this movie?
Sure.
I mean, I didn't get any of that. And at least Terminator 2, you know, does that.
Yeah.
This is on the same level of, like, Star Wars original trilogy bad. Like, I'm not.
You mean the series 1 through 3.
Yeah, like Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
Like this, like
some people might confuse original.
No,
for,
my bad. My bad.
Hey, I'm just saying.
No, I realize
on Twitter.
Thank you. I realize I said that. And yeah, it's like, to me, this movie is that bad. You are just ruining everything that came behind it. Like, it just doesn't. Ugh.
I'm sorry, Rick.
No, it's okay.
I'm so sorry.
It's all right. And also, Did Fury Road not come out this year?
I know.
Did Fury Road not come out this year? Did that not set a standard for what we want in action movies?
Yeah.
Then start being that good and smart.
I could not agree with you more, Ricky. Maybe the next one will be better.
Oh, they better not make an X.
Their copyright on the franchise
terrible.
Is running out, which is why they're making so many.
No, go work in a shoe store or something. Go do that. I think banks need
Nikes.
Work.
So, Mom, what is your worst part of this movie?
I probably would say the Kyle character.
Not
yeah,
good. I didn't like it.
Yeah, because the first Kyle was so innocent.
Yes.
And
kind.
Yeah.
Human.
Yes. And human. Yes.
Realistic looking.
Yes.
Shout out to Michael Biehn.
Yeah. I wanted to believe that this, you know, things had progressed differently, so he would be a different Kyle, as you know, all the characters were going to be a little
sure.
different, but I just wanted some of that. You
Absolutely.
Know, I missed that.
Yeah, so. Could not agree with you more.
Yeah,
I think that my worst part is the second half of the movie in its entirety. Mm. It really just kind of falls apart in the second half of the second act and the third act. But I think the most egregious worst part of this movie is the fact that there's a post-credits sequence. Which really just broke my heart. Because I was, like, willing to forgive the fact that it sort of fell apart. Because, hey, you can only do so much. But then they put that thing in there, and I was like, ugh, I don't know about this. And that was my worst part.
Awful.
Ugh. So, okay, let's give
this... Did you notice nobody sweats in this movie?
Yeah.
No, like, nobody is tired at the
yeah.
end of the movie.
Nobody,
everybody just looks
yeah.
like they did right at the beginning. Right. Like, all right, well, now we're driving off.
Yeah, now we're leaving. Now I'm going to go talk to myself for a second. I'm going to go talk to myself at a log cabin or wherever the hell that is. And it's supposed to be California, and they're, like, in a farm.
Yeah,
come
and I was
on.
Like, where,
I mean, there's farms
that?
Here, but, like, they don't look like that.
Thank you.
They do
thank
not
you.
Look like that. There's yeah. a freeway in the middle of them. That's what farms in California look like. So, Ricky, on a scale of 1 to 5... Wow, how did I just forget what I was going to say? On a scale of 1 to 5... This is not the Reese's Pieces that I wanted in this movie. You know, Kyle Reese, this is a bad one. I'm so sorry I didn't write it before.
Oh, it's all right.
How many do you give it?
I give it -5.
Ooh, boy, yeah. That's the worst rating we've had
yeah.
so far.
Check
this.
It, yo.
I
check it.
I understand.
Ooh. Check it.
So, Mom, on a scale of 1 to 5, I really did not want to know that John Connor was a Terminator in the trailer. How many I did not want to know that John... Connor was the Terminator in the trailer. Do you give it?
I would give it a solid 4.
4? Well, that's brought... We're -1.
Where are we at now? Where are we at?
All right. So I will give this on a scale of 1 to 5. I wish somebody had dressed up as Marty McFly in 1955 in Back to the Future, a la motorcycle jacket and a black fedora and a walkie-talkie in this movie. I will give it 3.5. I wish somebody had dressed up like Marty McFly. Blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to do the whole thing. God. So let us know what you thought about this movie on Twitter. Give us a holler and let me know. And then next episode, we are going to be reviewing the new Mission Impossible. Rogue Nation is what it's called, right?
That is correct.
Are you sure it's not called Mission Impossible? I believe this mission is possible now. We're going to go see that one. I'm excited about it. I can't wait to see that plane sequence.
Looks dope.
I mean, that's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
So tune in for that. And Ricky, what are you going to leave us with?
I saw this great documentary on Netflix. I believe it's called Island of Lost Souls, and it's about the making of the Island of Dr. Moreau with Val Kilmer and Marlon Brando.
Oh, boy.
And it's one of those fun, like, well, let's see how this train wreck happened.
Yeah.
And it's done very well, and it's available on Netflix now. Talk to that new Slum Village album, because that's hot. I will always let people know when I slept on some shit, and I am always sleeping on J Dilla. So I listened to this album. It's a new album that just came out. I believe the album is called Yes. And then go back and listen to Slum Village 2.0. And read Questlove's new book, Mo Meta Blues. I've got like 20 pages left in that. And the stories that he tells in there are just about music history and DJing and how it is an art. So relax, people who don't think DJing is something that takes talent. I'm looking at you, most comedians out there. That shit is hard work, so
it
respect
is.
That.
Ask Mr. Jonah Ray. It's hard work.
Yes, it is.
And
it
he
is.
Works hard for the money.
Yeah, it's not just a button they push. Yeah. They just push a button. Yeah, yeah, we just go up there and make up words. That's how it works. So, yeah, Moment of Blues, Slum Village, and that Island of Lost Souls documentary on Netflix.
You tell him, Ricky.
Yeah, I mean,
you tell him.
It's a very emotional Sunday for me.
I understand. I get it. So, Mom, what do you want to leave everybody with today?
Come to California. It is so beautiful here.
Yeah.
I have had the best time.
Filming locations, movies and stuff. It's pretty great, huh?
Yes.
Awesome. And I am going to leave you guys with another Netflix recommendation, and it's all over the place, but I really want people to see it. It's called What Happened, Miss Simone? And it is just a brilliant documentary. I have an issue with it, but I'm not going to talk about it because it'll sort of spoil the story of it. But the issue is I just want her to be treated perfectly in the film, and I feel like they maybe dropped the ball a little bit. But it is a story of a woman that we maybe don't talk about enough, and we should be talking about someone who basically put her body in a movement. You know, she took herself and she decided she had a moment in her life when she could just go keep making music, keep making money, keep having success, or she could be a part of change in the civil rights movement. And she decided to be part of change. And this documentary shows that decision, what happens in that, how she changed things. And I really think it's going to raise her profile. And I hope it was so moving to me to see this woman's life and to see everything that she had been through and to just see a female artist. You know, she's truly an artist who lived and breathed her art. And I really loved it. And it's one of those ones that you have to watch it. You can't just have it on in the background, because I had it on the background. I was like, nope, I'm going to sit down and watch this one. So I'm going to pause it now. And I watched the whole thing. And then there's like a title card at the end. And then I just broke down sobbing when that one came on. And it's just a beautiful film. So definitely check that one out.
That opening when she's on stage just
are you
with that
kidding
piano.
Me? I mean, she is just like, that is hers. Whole room is hers.
I knew right away. I was like, I don't know anything about Nina Simone, but I'm already on board with you.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew three songs.
Sure. And you know? What was it? Put a Spell on You?
Put a Spell on You? Feeling Good?
Feeling Good.
And then, I can't even remember the name of it now, but she does it in the song. I wish I knew how it would feel to be free.
Yep.
I mean, that's... Oh.
So many beautiful songs. And,
Kanye samples her.
Yeah, she's the only female baritone.
she's
a female baritone. All right, you guys, she's a classical pianist as well. So, yes, please check that out. And like I said, we will be back next episode with Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. And until then...
I'm Ricky Carmona.
I'm Rhea Butcher.
And I'm the mom.
And you have been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun Studios by Lindsay Pavlis. Thank you, Maximum Fun. Thank you, Lindsay. And thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.